Sugar Fry, 23714.
I want to squeeze in.
Come on up, sir.
Go ahead.
Come on up.
I have to use a bigger vocal voice. Get some of the background on there.
Got a ton of stuff.
Also, would you identify yourself and spell your name, please?
Good morning, Detective Michael Evangelisti, E-V-A-N-G-E-L-I-S-T-I. I'm with the Department of Emergency Services, Public Protection Division of State Police, representing the commissioner in this hearing. These are my two officer witnesses.
You do identify them, please?
Yes, please, go ahead.
Corporal David Johnson, D-A-V-I-D-J-O-H-N-S-O-N.
Sergeant Helvidio Augusto, H-E-L-V-I-D-I-O-A-U-G-U-S-T-O.
Thank you. We are here today because the appellant's pistol permit was revoked based on suitability grounds. After he had three incidents in less than 2.5 years, the appellant was arrested for two separate DWIs, one of which he had a loaded handgun on his person, and the other he made concerning statements to officers which led to a risk warrant being executed. This is the appellant's second revocation since having been issued a permit.
Would you like to make a brief opening statement, sir?
Yes, I was struggling with some PTSD issues after coming home from Iraq. I figured out that alcohol wasn't my medicine. So since then, I have completely changed everything, down to like a glass of wine a month for a nice dinner. Other than that, I stay away from it. I've been working 80 to 100 hours.
Just need a brief statement at this point. We'll give you another chance to say more.
Okay, sorry about that.
Judge, go for it, please.
Thank you.
Before you do, is there a VATS hit on this? I have a note of VATS.
No, it's expired. I had Detective Warren to check just to make sure, but there's no current VATS.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Officer Johnson, would you please identify your current town of employment?
South Windsor.
How long have you been an officer?
9 years, coming up on 9 years.
Okay, and were you working in the South Windsor Police Department on or about October 10th of 2022?
Yes.
Do you recall an accident involving a motorcycle in the state?
Yes.
And how'd you become aware of this?
I was dispatched to it.
Okay. And when you arrived, can you describe what you saw and then did?
I saw the appellant. Face down, unconscious at the time. People around him rendering aid. He had I believe it was a laceration to his face that they were applying pressure to. And then I saw a downed motorcycle a little bit south of where he was, also in the road there.
Okay, and were any other vehicles involved?
I could not prove that there were any other vehicles involved. There was no evidence to say that there was.
Okay, and was EMS called at all?
Yes, EMS was called. Okay. We started rendering aid, and when we started talking to him and touching him, he came to. And then EMS took over aid and brought him to the hospital.
Did you find any weapons on his person while providing aid?
Yes, when we flipped him over to check for any broken bones or, you know, any injuries, we saw a handgun on his hip.
Was it loaded?
Yes. Okay. There was 10 rounds in the magazine.
Okay. And did you speak with any witnesses regarding the accident about what happened?
There was a witness that was a little bit more north. He was traveling south on Avery Street. This witness was a little more north, also traveling south. Said they saw his taillights spin out at the stop sign of Avery and Pine Knob, and then the bike he went over.
And what was the weather that day?
It was raining.
It was raining? Okay. And did you speak with the appellant at all?
Yes. When he was in the ambulance, I asked him if he knew what had happened, and his response was he just said drinking.
Okay.
And then the ambulance worker started asking him questions. And I overheard the conversation. He said he was drinking because he was in remembrance of his friend.
Okay. And was he transported to the hospital?
Yes.
Okay. And what'd you do next afterwards? Any more investigative steps?
Yeah, based on, you know, what I observed, what I smelled, I smelled the odor of alcoholic beverage, you know, in speaking to him. What he said, I did a search warrant for his medical records from the hospital, which got signed and approved, and then served the warrant, got the medical records, sent it to the lab to be converted to, you know, grams per cent, and he was, I think, a point, I think it was a 0.17 if I remember right.
Correct. And did you seek an arrest warrant after this?
Yes, and then I applied for arrest warrant for carrying, for a DUI, and also carrying his firearm while intoxicated.
Okay. And was he ultimately arrested for it?
Yes, I think he was arrested for it.
Okay. That's all I have for this witness.
Questions for?
Appellant?
Appellant, would you like to ask them any questions?
No, I don't disagree with anything. It was, like I said, it was an isolated incident. I messed up, and I like I said, I've learned a lot from these two situations.
Only if you have questions, we can get to talk to you. No questions?
Questions by the board?
Yeah, I have a question. I just, what happened in court? You know, did he get the program? Is that, or is this a first DUI?
I'm sorry, I'm not feeling well. I'll be back in a minute.
Okay.
Brief recess.
Yeah, I'll take a recess.
Okay. Okay, we're back on.
Luke, were you asking the officer a question, Chief?
Boy, I don't remember. What was I asking?
You were asking how the case disposed of the first one.
Yeah, exactly. What happened with the 2022 DUI accident?
For that one, I believe it's wrapped up into the other one. We'll probably get into it in the cross. It's part of a program for both of them. They're both convictions. And it's still under probation until the end of this year in November, I believe, correct?
No, I got an early release April 23rd.
Oh, April 23rd? So it's only until April?
Yep.
All right. The records didn't reflect that, unfortunately. But still on probation at this time.
But what happens after the probation?
The convictions for two DUIs only.
Yeah, but two DUI convictions are...
They're both misdemeanors.
I understand that, but if you have two within 10 years, it's a felony.
It's a felony, I know. I don't have the court records as to whether there was a deal of some sort or AR. I'm sure we'll get into it when we get to the cross on my end.
I would look at the record. If there are two convictions for DUI within 10 years, I would... Now, granted, you didn't get 2 years in jail, but that's the possible penalty for that.
Yeah.
I think, and this is just from the previous chair, I think they can combine them somehow, so it's...
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, no, that could be. It could be one. Yeah. But he's saying there are.
So it's only six.
Even with two, if they were close together, there's a program. I just remember that from Carolyn discussing that.
Because it was 6 months jail, execution suspended, so it wasn't greater than the year and a day.
Well, I understand. Most people don't get greater than, even if they are convicted of a felony, they get nothing. All right, that's interesting.
Yep. I was always show the SBRC if that's helpful.
And I remember a case like that where there were two relatively close, combined, but listed as two separate convictions on two separate dates within the same year. That's what I remember about a previous case, and that was considered a felony. So. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's got two.
I think we're...
I'm sorry, that was my question.
Okay.
So I guess we're good with that witness.
Okay. No questions. Okay. All right, Sergeant Augusto, where's your current town of employment?
Manchester.
How long have you been employed as a police officer?
Nearly 20 years.
Okay. Were you working in the Manchester Police Department on or about January 18th of 2024?
Yes.
Do you recall a traffic stop that led to a risk warrant on this date?
Yes.
How did you become involved with this traffic stop?
I was working a Department of Transportation funded DUI grant. And while working, one of the patrol officers initiated a traffic stop on a vehicle that he reported that was traveling erratically. And based on what he reported over the radio, I responded to his location to assist him, and then I eventually took over the case.
Okay. When you arrived, what did you see? What did you do?
Initially, the appellant's vehicle had pulled into a driveway of a house, and the officer was in the driveway talking to the appellant. And then I eventually spoke with the initiating officer. He filled me in on what he had observed for motor vehicle violations.
And what were those motor vehicle violations, if you remember?
He observed the appellant was traveling on Oakland Street. He had passed a couple vehicles in a no-passing zone crossing double yellows, and then he failed to stop for a stop sign at another intersection.
And the house and driveway that he pulled into, was it his house?
No.
Did he know the person?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Okay. And did you speak with the appellant?
I did.
And what was his demeanor?
He was agitated, he was upset, argumentative.
Did he say anything about his previous DUI?
Yes.
And how did he describe it?
He said he had gotten screwed over by, I believe it was St. Francis Hospital, in that they had mixed up his blood with the blood of a crackhead.
Okay. And based on your observations, did you have the appellant perform field sobriety tests?
Yes.
And what were the results of these tests?
Failed. He failed the three sobriety tests.
Okay. So what did you do next?
He was arrested.
Okay. And what was the appellant's demeanor at this point once he was under arrest?
Just argumentative. He wanted me to listen to what he had to say. He just kept telling me, listen, as I was escorting him to the cruiser. Just argumentative the entire time.
Okay. And when you were back at the police department, was the appellant afforded the opportunity to call an attorney?
I gave him the opportunity, yes.
Okay. And did the appellant take any tests?
He refused.
All right. How was the appellant's demeanor during the booking process?
Same as on the road. He was argumentative, confrontational, upset, mood swings up and down. He was upset at times, and then he would calm down, and then he would get aggressive and just argue with me. So just mood swings throughout the night.
Okay. Did the appellant make any statements that caused you concern for his or anyone else's safety?
Yes. He made vague innuendos about 22 a day, which I know to mean like 22 veterans a day commit suicide. He also did state that he holds a gun to his head regularly. It's something that he's done numerous times.
Okay. And that caused you obviously concern for his safety and safety of others, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And when you asked the appellant where he stores his firearms, where did he say?
He told me at his house.
And where do you say he lives at that point?
At that point, he told me he lived in Wethersfield.
Did you find this to be true?
No, that was false.
Okay. Where did you find him to live?
He lived with his mother in Manchester.
For about how long, do you remember?
7 years.
Okay, so for about the last 7 years. Were you able to make contact with the appellant's family about the situation and
yes.
concerns?
Yes.
Okay. And what happened there?
I informed the mother and I believe the stepfather what was going on. The appellant had admitted to me that he had firearms in his possession at home, so I was trying to make arrangements to get those firearms. Speaking with the mother, she allowed police to come over to retrieve the firearms that were at the house.
Okay. And was a risk warrant drafted and executed?
Yes.
And was the appellant involuntarily taken to the hospital for evaluation?
Yes.
This incident, was this a motorcycle or a car?
This is a motor vehicle.
A car?
Yes, okay. A vehicle, car.
Do you have questions for it? Questions from the board? Okay, sir, your turn to tell your story.
I don't disagree with what happened. Like I said, I had been struggling for a while and thought that alcohol was my answer, and it obviously wasn't. I've never been suicidal, and I can promise that. I have never held a gun to my head, and I can promise that as well. I think the things that I said that night were purely out of situational aggression and being under the influence. I have always been gun safety since I was literally 2 years old when I learned how to shoot with my grandparents. I was expert in the military for all weapons training. I was range cadre. I've never been irresponsible with my weapons. I, like I said, it's This was a situation that, you know, I misused alcohol to subside my PTSD. And obviously since then I have been doing great. I've been working at least 50 to 100 hours a week between my full-time job and my side work. I'm also working on getting my hot sauce brand going. So I've been doing real well. I have a great relationship now and a family that supports me. And like I said, a glass of wine maybe once a month with a nice dinner, and that's it. I have changed my life around. Those issues will never come about again, I can promise you that. The therapy that I finished and the VA and the outpatient process and programs that I have done have been a great help to me for substance and PTSD. I have a great network of people that are around me constantly. A friend of mine that's in Bolton that I'm moving into, her basement is probably one of my solid rocks. She was one of my sergeants in the Army, and she has been there for me constantly, and I think living with her will give me that extra sense of pride, helping her out on her farm and around her house, because she's ill now and everything else. So I can say that, you know, there's going to be no issue in the future for sure. I have a lot of life ahead of me and my daughter to raise. And
how old is your daughter?
She's gonna be 14 this year, so that'll be fun.
That was a challenge.
Yeah.
Do you have questions for Mr. Hill?
Yes, please. Have you ever had your pistol permit revoked before these incidents?
Before these two incidents, no.
Never, not in 2014?
That was a false allegations situation that was complete dismissal. The only reason it was suspended was for the protective order, which was thrown out.
Okay.
The false allegations, the state was supposed to go after her. I don't know what happened with that, but
okay.
That was, like I said, that was a false crime. So,
how long have you had your permit for?
Since 2011, I want to say.
2011. Okay. So going back to the motorcycle accident, before the actual motorcycle accident, where were you coming from?
A friend of mine's shop. We were grieving a friend of ours' loss. So wasn't supposed to be that way, but he was one of the people that would have actually kept me in line. Mm-hmm. So that was tough.
So when you went over, you didn't know you were consuming alcohol?
It wasn't my plan.
Okay. At what point did you come into possession of a firearm that day?
That morning, I was taking the bike out for a ride. And I always keep my weapon on me, just my right.
Of course. But when you went over to the shop, before you started consuming alcohol, where was your weapon at that point?
On my hip.
Okay. And how close is the shop to where you live?
10 minutes.
Could you have gone there prior if you started determining that you're going to be
consuming
one?
I could have, but I didn't.
Okay. And what were you drinking?
Vodka.
About how much do you think? I mean, obviously it's over now. But
I couldn't tell you.
Okay. When the officers were processing you for the second DUI and tried to find out where your firearms are housed, you claimed that you lived in Wethersfield when you actually lived in Manchester for the past 7 years. Why did you give them that address?
Wethersfield is my grandmother's house, which is my technical address.
Okay.
Manchester is my mom's, where I'd been staying, just because it was tight at my grandmother's house, and
yeah.
I was truck driving for a while, so
all right.
At mom's was a little bit easier to just have my belongings. And
okay. And when they were asking you for your address, you knew it was about where the firearms were, or you didn't
I
know?
I wasn't really sure, to be honest with you.
So in your packet to the board, you state under number 16, I was wrongfully charged with a DUI that I did not do and had my weapon on me at the time of the accident on a motorcycle that no one else was involved in. Then again, under number 19, you claimed that the hospital screwed up the blood test, causing the results because you were not under influence of drugs or alcohol that day. Do you believe that those statements that you made before the board in the packet were accurate?
The packet was, I think, I was filling that out with aggression. I was upset okay. about the situation. I don't know. I can't explain that. I think I was more pissed off than anything. And the hospital did kind of screw me up as far as letting me go with a traumatic brain injury, which my doctor has not been too happy about.
Of course.
The doctors at St. Francis were like, nope, you're good. And a week later, my doctor was like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
So that was now 4 months laid up of no work and everything else. So I think the traumatic brain injury had a lot to do with the situations that happened. And then, you know, then again, with the second DUI, I think the alcohol consumption with the traumatic brain injury is not a good mix as well. Mm-hmm. Hence the reason that it's in my past, so.
Okay. So when discussing the risk work termination with Manchester PD, 9/9/24, the report by Detective Hearn states that the suicidal comments were made out of desperation in the situation, and he kind of alluded to that again today. Can you explain what that means? Like, you were...
Emotions got the best of me.
Okay.
Under the influence, obviously, everybody gets emotional and mm-hmm. things change, so...
So it's uncharacteristic, is what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay. So how were your court cases resolved in these incidents?
So they combined the two. They gave me 18 months probation, which, like I said, is getting early terminated. I've done all my community service, over 200 hours. I have the breathalyzer in my vehicle for another year. I think April 11th of next year is when that comes out. I had the breathalyzer for 6 months prior to that for the first DUI. Everything else was dependent on my completion of the IOP program, the substance abuse and PTSD / anger management programs through the VA, which there was a letter put in from my social worker, who I can see whenever I want. She's been awesome checking in on me, catching up on things, but everything has been A-okay.
So you're still currently on probation for the incident?
Yeah, just until April 23rd. That's the...
They have an updated judicial branch because it still shows on our...
Yeah, I just got the letter 2 days ago. So.
Awesome. Do you have that letter with you or anything?
I actually might have a screenshot of it in my phone.
Okay. It's actually on the judicial public
side. Oh, it says it's good. Even better. Look at that. Are there any special conditions as part of your probation regarding firearms or alcohol or anything
like those lines? No, I've been non-reporting. They were very satisfied with my everything that I had done for the VA and the mm-hmm. programs I completed. Like I said, my social worker is more than happy with the change of events
mm-hmm.
and how much progress I've made. So, like I said, staying busy and everything else has been keeping me on the straight and narrow. So.
Perfect. Are you currently in a treatment program or seeing a medical professional?
Just my social worker every couple months, just to kind of check in and see how everything's going and see if there's any updates I need as far as how I feel, if I need treatment or if anything's becoming an issue, and everything's been great.
Good. Are you prescribed anything?
Just a PTSD. It's a light, it's more of like an allergy medicine is the main use for it, but they use it just to help you sleep at night, just so you're not awake.
Has there been a diagnosis? Have you said PTSD, anything else?
No.
Okay. With the medical paperwork that you provided the board last night and then this morning, the last night paperwork was your discharge paperwork from an incident?
That was the second. Yep, that was the second DUI. That was the discharge from Manchester. I don't know, there wasn't as much information as discharge paperwork as I thought, but there was a letter.
Depressive disorder, there's something about depression, alcohol abuse.
That's what they were that's what they were concerned about, and that's what the VA had followed up with.
Okay.
And those were, like I said, those were all good to go.
In the letter provided by your social worker, it only goes over you completing the program and your strides toward improving your mental health, which is excellent, right?
Correct.
But do you have anything here today about your suitability to possess a firearm in public?
I don't.
Anything about gun ownership, anything about permits, anything along those lines?
I don't have anything with me. No, I wasn't really sure what kind of evidence I needed
But do you see what I'm asking?
I 100% agree.
No, because with the risk warrant terminating, that's the standard for that is a danger to yourself and or others, right? An active threat mm-hmm. toward other people that they want to protect people from. This is suitability. This is a little different of a standard, right? So
correct.
Do you have a medical provider right now that would probably write you something about that?
I could get one, yeah, for
probably.
Sure.
Okay.
Like I said, I think the situation was, like I said, alcohol-induced, and that was the the biggest part of it. So the completion of the IOP and everything else and not using to...
Have you taken any programs or any classes or any sort of education outside of what's been mandated by the Corps?
Yes.
Okay.
There was a follow-up IOP program, a VA-sanctioned AA meeting that was every week. So I was actually for 6 months, I was at the VA 4 days out of the week with doing substance abuse classes and AA, and I was there from 8 to noon every single, all 4 days of the week for 6 months approximately.
And do you still consume alcohol?
Like I said, a glass of wine maybe once a month with a nice dinner. Other than that, nope.
Any relapses to see how things go?
No, anything not worth it to me.
Yep, okay.
Not worth it.
That's all for me.
Questions from the board?
I had the same question about the medical records because they didn't mention firearms at all.
Yeah, I'm not
normally
really
we would
sure.
like to see something from a treating doctor or licensed clinical social worker saying, I know this person's, this is the history.
Not a threat
they're going,
or anything.
They're going to get a firearm. They're trying to get their firearm. And I think that is okay. You know, they're suitable to do that.
Yeah,
but your letters
like I said,
are lacking
the...
in there. He kind of let you off the hook a little bit. Your appellant questionnaire, that was not truthful. Is that correct? The thing you filled out for the board, you said you were angry, but it wasn't accurate.
Correct, sir.
So you don't contest the blood work?
No, sir.
Okay. And right now, how long do you have the interlock on your car?
Another year. So it would be 2 years total plus the 6 months prior.
And why is that interlock there? I know because of DUI, but why? What are they trying to prevent?
What was that, sir?
What are they trying to prevent?
I think that's just the DMV's way of helping.
To prevent you from driving after drinking.
Correct, sir.
But there's nothing on a gun that would prevent you from carrying a gun after
Correct,
drinking.
Sir.
So that seems like a conflict to me that there's, you can't drive a car unless you blow into a tube, but you're asking the board to give us a gun. What do you think of that? Give you
but on the rebuttal to that, sir, I do have to say if I'm, you know, that's able to operate my vehicle with the breathalyzer, then obviously I'm still in the right mind with a weapon in my hands as well, or on my hip. So if I'm traveling back and forth to work every day and going about my life with a breathalyzer in my vehicle, that's, you know, I can say that obviously there would be no need for a breathalyzer on a sidearm to be on me if I'm functioning every day as a normal person in society just with a breathalyzer in my car for another year, which I've obviously learned my lesson valuably for
Yeah, they haven't come up with
situations.
One for a gun yet.
No, I mean, I'm sure that's, you know, down the road sometime in technology, but like I said, I can honestly say that, you know, after everything that I've gone through, that I don't feel that there would be any reason to have an issue
okay.
at all.
And I don't know if you got the questions I was asking them early about two DUIs in 10 years.
I kind of did.
A felony, because that's what the law is. If you have two DUI convictions within 10 years, it's a felony.
I did not.
I don't know where you stand. I don't know if it's going to matter here, but just something for you to think about.
Okay, I think the first one they had, I'm not exactly sure how to word it, but I think they had knocked the first one out in combination with the second. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know.
I really wasn't asking you a question there. I was just trying. You should know that.
No, 100%
agree. You need to look into that so you're very well aware
Agreed.
Of where you stand.
Agreed.
Okay. That's just advice. Thank you.
I just have one question. You had your permit in, I believe it was 2011,
mm-hmm.
and you had a revocation due to a protective order that was later rescinded,
mm-hmm.
correct? Did you get your permit? Did the state police return your permit when the protective order was lifted, or did you reapply?
No, it was returned to me.
Okay.
Yeah, it was, like I said, as soon as they figured out that the case was false allegations,
your permit was reinstated then?
Correct.
Okay. That was my only question.
Other questions? Final statement from the appellate.
Closing, any closing remarks you'd like to make?
I think I've said quite a bit. Like I said, I can guarantee you that this is not going to be an issue in the future. I have changed my life around 100%. These were two isolated incidents that alcohol was not my friend, and I have since then realized that I don't need it. There's way better things to do, like working on a house and everything else to keep my mind focused on life. I have a lot going on for me, and I don't want to ruin that anymore. So I need to move forward in life and get my hot sauce out there, and maybe one day you guys will be buying it on the Big Y shelves.
Please. The issuing authority is not seeking a ban on the appellant's ability to ever obtain a pistol permit in Connecticut. However, not enough time has passed given the gravity of situations and the freshness of their occurrences. There were three serious incidents that occurred in the last 2.5 years, and the appellant is still on probation during this. More time and treatment and medical documentation specifically detailing his suitability to have a permit in the future could lead the issuing authority to a much different position, right? We're looking for medical documentation from a care provider that specifically states a suitability with firearms. That would have changed, to me, that would have changed my opinion today, because I am definitely not a doctor who could have provided that sort of solace and clarity to the board or myself or the issuing authority. Our concern remains at this time, but again, once probation's over and a documentation letter, I mean, that would change my opinion greatly, but I don't have enough facts in front of me today to advocate for that, so we still go with the revocation.
Sure. There's a revocation by the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection. The revocation initially was based on incident in October of 2022, in which the Windsor Police Department responded to a motorcycle accident in which the appellant was the operator. He sustained injuries while the police were rendering aid. They found a loaded handgun on his person. Due to some factors while rendering aid in their investigation, police department did a warrant for the appellant's blood alcohol level, which came back as a 0.17, and an arrest warrant was subsequently issued, and the appellant was arrested for DWI and carrying a firearm while under the influence. In January of 2024, in the town of Manchester, there was a traffic stop in which the appellant was again the operator. He failed a field sobriety test, was arrested, refused to take the breathalyzer test in the police department. While during the processing, he made some very concerning comments, which led the police department to do a peer report, and then subsequently a risk protection order was granted and a search warrant. The appellant is a veteran. He seems to has taken both therapy at the VA and outpatient treatment. He did have a prior revocation, but that was reinstated. The two DWI cases, just note, are still pending technically. He is on probation until April 23rd of 2025.
Comments from the board?
I just say that looking at the facts that have been presented, the length of time from the incident, and a 0.17 blood alcohol on a motorcycle while carrying a gun is daunting to ask or to consider overturning in your favor with a pending case. You know what I mean? So. I do want to say thank you for your service. It does sound like you're turning those wheels and moving forward in life. I'd like to see you come back prepared to present that with the documentation there.
Any other comments? Echoing
Mr. Gray's comments, I am a fellow veteran, and when I say thank you for your service, that's not a cliche. I sincerely mean that, and I'm sorry that you went through what you did and ended up with PTSD. It's an unfortunate, regrettable, and bad situation. And the courage to face that is something that's very impressive. The recentness of the last offense, I think, is what's troubling me a bit. And it sounds as though once everything is cleared up and a little more time has passed, it seems like it'd be a no-brainer that you can get your permit. Whether we can do it at this time is weighing on my mind.
Other comments from the board? Time for a vote?
Issuing authority.
Issuing authority.
Issuing authority at this time.
Issuing authority.
Issuing authority at this time.
Issuing authority at this time, hoping that we will see you again. Or not have to see you again. Even better.
Confused, so what's that? So